I don't know. Something happened.
There's some...
I've got a bad feeling about that now that you said that. Like, it makes sense.
Hi, I'm Sydney. Welcome to the Forbidden Cities, a Keeper of the Lost Cities podcast where JC and I talk about Keeper of the Lost Cities books, theories, characters, ships, and more.
Sorry, that was the whole
thing. The counselors in school together.
The counselors as children.
As children.
Can you imagine young Kenrick? It's just Keith. Just Keith, yeah. With red hair.
Keith with red hair and less family issues, probably.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. So 325. Yes. Sophie's like, what do you know about Prentice? Oh, let me rewind a little bit.
Okay.
So this is still Sophie talking to Tyrion.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, that's not the only reason you're special, believe me. Have you remembered anything else since the tribunal? Oh, no, hold on, okay. Sorry, I...
Huh?
Okay.
Oh, no. So we only have one book right now, so I have no idea what she's reading.
They're in the Forbidden Cities. Do you miss your human life? Tyrion asked. She thought about the headaches, the fear of discovery, how out of place she always felt, and opened her mouth to
say no.
I've
read this scene so many times.
But sometimes I miss my family, slipped out instead. His expression softened. That's good, Sophie. You of all people should never forget where you came from. If you ever need reminding, let me know and I'll bring you here. She mm-hmm. nodded. Do you wonder why you were hidden with humans? Her mind darted unwillingly to Prentice. Mm-hmm. My real parents must have wanted to get rid of me, she whispered.
Mm-hmm.
If our theory is right.
Yeah.
He is her real parents.
Okay.
One of them. He closed his eyes and pain seeped into his features. Trust me, Sophie. No one got rid of you. Don't you know how special you are?
Hmm.
I just need a whole second while. That's a whole other level of suspicion. Pain mm-hmm. seeps into his features? That's,
yeah. Yeah.
That's so Orly-esque.
And see, we thought it was just because of the... Because Forkel does something similar. A little...
He's more just like, Sophie, you can't know who your parents are. Stop asking questions.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Pain seeped into his features. He closed his eyes. And I'm going to cry. Don't let me cry. I cried 3 times in the movie last night. Actually, 4. I don't need to do that again.
It's hot in here. Oh, my goodness.
Don't you know how special you are? Yeah, special enough to have secret information stored in my brain without my permission, she mumbled. Which is probably why Prentice got rid of her.
He's like...
Who'd want to freak as a daughter? Or maybe he was the one who planted the information. Her hands clenched into fists. That's not the only reason you're special, believe me. Tyrion cleared the strain out of his voice. Have you remembered anything else since the tribunal? Oh, he changed the subject.
See, I always thought that was super sus, but, like, in a sweet, like, oh, I like Tyrion. But at the same time...
So sweet, sir! Okay, I'm firmly, like, not only am I like Tyrion, so we stop, but I'm like... Tyrion's so nice.
Uh-huh.
Sophie doesn't deserve Tyrion. Sophie doesn't deserve Keith. Sophie doesn't deserve Orly. Sophie doesn't deserve any of them. She's, and remember at the end of Legacy, she's like, yeah, she's done looking for her biological parents. She hopes she never found out who her dad was. He wasn't worth learning who it was anyway. He was probably awful.
I bet it is Tyrion, and I'm angry.
That's that scene. My real parents, not the scene, but the line. My real parents must have wanted to get rid of me, she whispered. He closed his eyes.
Why don't we think about this?
Sifted into his features.
I'm so mad.
I've never reread this before.
This so many times, but I just skim it. I just am like, oh, look, they're talking because he's on the Black Swan. Ha ha. Ugh.
Did the registry pin this record audio?
No. Sorry, I was spinning around on this chair.
Because how do they know about the Dex kiss?
Huh?
The registry pin is record audio.
No, they don't.
How do they That's know about creepy. The Dex kiss?
I don't know, but I don't think they do. About good question. I think they could just find things out. I don't.
They were inside, so not the dwarves.
They're not listening to everything, or otherwise they would they know. Can, they would know about Alvar. In. No, they can't tune in. They would know about Alvar. They would know about everyone. That would but be tyranny.
Alvar scrambled the registry pendant. Well, Orly said, like, we don't want to monitor registry pendants if we don't have to, but whenever people are being suspicious, we look into them.
They don't listen to every conversation. There are lots of conversations around registry pendants.
So they don't always, like, they aren't always looking at it, but if they're concerned about one citizen, they can track it. Because I remember whenever they were debating the circuit.
They can track where they go, but I promise, they're not recording audio. I promise. They know that some other way, but it's... It's gossip. Then? It's gossip.
How do they count? It's...
They haven't... They...
They have an
Yeah.
About. To be honest, it's like, all right, everyone, listen.
Also, I think it's also just Shannon adding something fun. But no, it's not recording audio. I bet 100%. That would be crazy.
You okay.
Can't. Remember with our book, the whole thing where we had to cut out cameras?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's so cameras are so hard to write around.
It's so, yeah. Anyway, he said, that's not the only reason you're special. Have you remembered anything else since the tribunal? She watched an ant crawl across the dirty pavement. I understand if you aren't ready to talk about it, but don't be afraid to explore your memories. They might be the only way to understand who you really are. What if I'm someone bad? She whispered, putting words to the fear that had consumed her since yesterday. I can assure you you're not, he promised. She shook her head, refusing to believe him. What do you know about Prentice? Tyrgan shifted in his seat. Oh, he's sus about the black swan, too. I know that's classified information, but I think I deserve to know who he was. He was my father, wasn't he? Tyrgan sucked in a breath. Of course not. Why would you think that? You thought Lady Cadence was your mother?
Wait, I've noticed that before, and I don't know if I was... No, that's so I have...
funny, because that's orally... She... Mm-hmm. You thought Lady Cadence
was your mother? Yeah, uh-huh. No, okay, I've read this scene before and thought about that before.
And Bront, in front of Orly, she was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're my father, aren't you? Oh, no.
Okay. I've done this before. Okay, I feel a little better about myself because I know I've thought that before reading that. My pride is hurt.
He was a keeper and he was exiled because of me. It's not hard to put the pieces together. Sophie, look at me, Tyrgan said, waiting until she did. Prentice was exiled because he was hiding your existence, not because he was responsible for it.
He, like, overshares there about the black swan. He's like... He does it more in a second, too, I think.
That was my note, by the way. He's like, don't kill me, Farkle.
Uh-huh. Because he hesitates to say something.
Yeah, what do you mean? He hesitated, and she could tell he was warring with himself, deciding how much to say. He sighed and looked away. When he spoke, his words were hurried, like he was forcing them out before he could change his mind. Prentice was a keeper for a group called the Black Swan, and the information he was hiding was you. Where to find you? I'd warned Prentice there would be consequences for helping the Black Swan, but he didn't listen. And when he was captured, he sacrificed his sanity to keep you hidden. Now he lives in exile, his mind is shattered, and a useless mess. Please don't kill me, Mr. Forkle, whenever I speak. Anyway.
He is her dad.
I know. I'm so happy. He's so nice to her. I'm... That's not... It's like the least weird choice, too. Like, some of the...
Yes! It's so obvious! Why do I overcomplicate things every time? Anyway.
His reaction. They wanted to get rid of me, and then the pain I...
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing she does with Orly. I wonder if she finds out that it's him. If she's gonna be quicker to forgive, because she's like, you both! Okay, fine.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, my name is Oscar, and I'm the host of the Potter Discussion Podcast. The Potter Discussion is the ultimate Harry Potter podcast, discussing everything from Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, and the entire Wizarding World fandom. This isn't your everyday Harry Potter podcast, because we have regular, in-depth discussions about obscure and fascinating topics. So if you enjoy in-depth character breakdowns, Harry Potter quizzes, and you are a Harry Potter super fan, this podcast is for you. Search for the Potter Discussion Podcast in your favorite podcast app, or click the link to learn more.
She's like, okay, you've worked with the Black Swan, you didn't let them put the restrictor on me. She'll also be like, you've ignored me ever since I came here! And he's like, I mentored you?
Uh-huh.
Well, you lied to me!
Hmm.
Yeah, that was because it was illegal. I mean, if you want me to, I'll go turn myself into the council. I'll just be exiled. He's not gonna say that. He's so nice to her. He's so suspicious in the next two. Also,
that's Wiley's basically his Wiley's his adopted son. That's
basically
gonna be,
her brother.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, that's gonna be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, but Sophie's whole "you lied to me" thing. Like, what did you want them to do? Turn themselves into the counselors? Get exiled? You got your good luck on your own. Like. Okay, think about it.
She's half INFP, I don't know. Anyway.
If Orly had turned herself into the council, like, admitted that she was Sophie's mom, told Sophie, Sophie would have told people, not realizing...
Sophie wouldn't do that.
She wouldn't have realized yet. Like, think about it. If in the first scene, in front of Bronte Kenrick, she had revealed it, because that's what Sophie wanted. She's like, you've lied every time you see me. And Orly's like, no, I couldn't tell anyone. Uh-huh. And Sophie's like, no, because you couldn't risk your position on the council. But say Orly had left the council and told everyone, she would have been exiled for breaking the law, because that was illegal, what she did. And so
I don't know where you're going with this.
That means that Orly would have been removed from the council. The most likely counselor was Lena. So then the only person who would have continually fought for Sophie on the council would have been Kenrick.
Yeah.
That would have changed the balance of the council, because Alina was firmly against Sophie from the time she became the counselor.
Where are we going with this? I'm so lost.
Basically.
What's your point?
No one, once Kenrick died, that would have meant, I guess, so, Leto could have been elected. But
where are you going with this? I'm so lost.
The balance in the council would have shifted. There wouldn't have been people to argue for Sophie. A lot of the times in the first three books, whenever there's kind of silence.
Yeah, it would have worked.
For Sophie.
Clearly, logically, we know this.
Not to mention the fact that if it was revealed that one of her parents was a counselor who had broken the law like that, Sophie would have been cast under a lot more suspicion, a lot less of the counselors would have trusted her.
Okay, JC, I think everybody knows this.
And the series would have been over a lot sooner.
Yes.
All I'm doing is ranting because I'm mad at Sophie.
But I understand why Sophie's mad.
Just in case there's anyone who's listening who's on Sophie's side.
Okay. I understand why Sophie's mad, though, because she clearly can't do anything. She's like, I can't even tell Fitz, but she just needs someone to be mad at.
Why are you thinking about not even registering for the match? Yeah, complain to Sophie. Complain to Orly about matchmaking. Because she
calm down,
Jason.
Okay, I'm gonna 327. Basically, this part with Tyr again.
Oh, yeah, I wrote,
I was like, no, I wrote down liar, because he says, whatever the black swan is, it has nothing to do with who you are.
Who else says that to her?
This is what he says exactly. Tyrgan took her hands and waited for her to meet his eyes. Oh, the meet his eyes thing. Whatever the black swan is, it has nothing to do with who you are. When I look at you, I only see good. You came forward when you cheated. He acts like the black swan's bad here. But really,
because he doesn't.
I would take that literally.
They're
like,
forcing
him, the black swan has nothing to do with me.
They're forcing him to not, like, tell Sophie who he is.
Mm-hmm.
My next one is
JC's eating Oreos.
My next one is 345. So do you have any before that?
Nope. Go ahead.
Oh, cool.
Maybe we shouldn't eat Oreos.
Maybe not. It might be a little loud.
Yeah. Because I was gonna eat some Pringles, but
it might
snack
just sound
afterwards
a little
and watch Little Women.
Yeah. 345.
Good movie, by the way.
Yes. That's when it hit her, because she glanced at Grady, hoping he'd defend her. He did solve
the
problem.
Wait, what's going on here?
It's right after she got back from, like, collecting a sample of fire, basically.
Uh-huh, okay.
And that's when it hit her. Fire. Death. Jolie.
Mm.
My brain. Fire. Death. Kimmer. Wait, no, not yet, guys. Don't rush that. And then, do you have one before 348?
Nope, mine's at 361.
Cool. So 348 is my next one. Oh, yeah, this is where I said I've almost made up my mind that Tyrgan's her dad, because I was less decisive the first time through. If anyone else told me that, I would question their sanity. Tyrgan chuckled, but with you, I'm learning anything is possible, because she said that she thought she could, like, hear Iggy's thoughts.
Mm.
And Sophie blushed. You've really never heard of anyone reading animals' minds? No. I've also never heard of anyone transmitting across impossible distances or having an impenetrable mind.
I remember all of this so well.
Or tracking exact locations, so I can't say I'm surprised. In fact, I wonder, do you think you could transmit to an animal or track them? I guess I could try. His face lit up. Yes, you must. And if we can, I think that would qualify as passing your final exam. You'd pass me just like that? Sophie, you have the greatest telepathic abilities I've ever seen. I'm not sure I'm qualified to test you. Even if you can't do this, I'll find some other excuse to pass you. It'd be wrong not to. So where it's like, he realized that she could do something and it said his face lit up.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of a lot of whenever Orly got really excited after she figured out how to control her enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the phrasing of it. It's like, I forget the exact phrase, but it's basically like her face lit up. Or Orly was staring at her and, like, smiling. It was the greatest scene. Oh. Sophie ruined it! Anyway, then my next note is 351.
You know, I feel kind of bad for Sophie. If I were... Oh, you're like, don't feel bad for Sophie. It has nothing to do with that. Okay, if I were the Moonlark, and everybody was praising me all the time about my abilities, I would be, like, they're not even mine. Like, somebody gave me these. Mm-hmm. And I would have severe imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, that. I would be like, this isn't me. I can't take credit for this. You guys gave this to me.
Right.
That's why it's nice that Tarek tells her, and he basically tells her, like, you're incredible without your powers, doesn't he?
Tarek or Teargan?
Oh, Teargan, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, because she's like, yeah, because people planted stuff in my brain. He's like, it's not why you're special. And then he's like,
yeah, exactly.
Focus.
Uh-huh. And then Keith does that a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Fitz does it, I guess, but it doesn't seem that sincere.
Yeah, I mean, he's nice.
I wonder. Sometimes. I'm going to keep note of that, because honestly...
His big thing is that they're cognates, and that she's the most powerful elf the world has ever known.
Yeah, that's... I would be... And I mean, she kind of is like the...
Orly said, I'm going to see if I can remember, it's in Lodestar, and I'd have to find it on my phone. But it's like, I think we need people like you, people who aren't afraid to ask questions and stand up to... For what they know is right. So she just, it's kind of like what Bronn said, like, I'm really proud of you because of, like, the way you've conducted yourself, not because of your abilities. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I can compare it to my art, which I'm not the greatest artist. I can...
Liar! She's lying!
I'm really not.
She's lying!
No, I'm not. Look at Annabelle's over there. It's amazing.
You're just as good.
Well, no, I'm not.
Yes!
I'm really not. Anyway, the point is...
Mad.
What'd you say?
I said I'm mad.
Okay, the point is, I've never taken lessons. And so, I guess when people compliment me about that, it's like, I can't help that I can draw. I think I get it from my grandpa, and I'm like, I just can't help it. It's not something I was trained in or worked really hard in. It comes really naturally. And so, that's why it's a lot more meaningful to me when people compliment something I write than something I draw. Like, when they compliment something I draw, that's great, but like, I feel like, yeah, I mean, it's not really, I didn't really have
you
much
did.
Control
you
over
still,
it.
You still put the effort into
well, still, but it. That's something I can relate that to.
I mean, that makes sense, but still, her art is amazing.
Yeah.
She did, you know, our, well, this is more graphic design than art, but our main thing that's like says Forbidden Cities memes, and it's like the whole, she did that. The font is handwritten, so she did a good job.
Well, but...
No.
I want to redesign it.
Okay. I'm continuing. Okay, so 387. Oh, Morella said people died. Alda nodded. Because of Everblaze. I've never really understood the concept, but apparently there's a way to sense cosmic energy in the atmosphere, and if you pull enough of it together, it will spark Everblaze. Fintan called it the fire of the sun on Earth. He was the only pyrokinetic who managed to ignite it. And reminding a little bit, Alden was also like, you saw some balefire. Fintan made it when he was one of the counselors. He retired when pyrokinesis was banned, which he fully supported after what happened. What happened was he accidentally killed his friends. After that, the council forbade anyone to learn pyrokinesis, and Fintan retired from the council because he couldn't serve without a special ability. But he stayed close friends with most of the counselors, and he's the only elf alive who can start Everblaze. So you can see why the counselors might have a hard time believing he's capable of this, this being burning the Forbidden Cities. So he's the only one who could have created Everblaze. So whenever Sophie proved that there was Everblaze in the Forbidden Cities, that's when Fintan could be arrested, was because that then they were like, well, I guess it's Fintan then. And that's why he's, you know, that's when they know he's guilty. But before
and
that...
And then Shannon is brilliant and makes Brant show up, and anyway.
And, so before the, bottling of the Everblaze... The counselors, it said most of the counselors were actually still friends with him. But we know that's not the case for all of them, because pre-book one, Kenric was interrogating him. Why was Kenric interrogating him?
Is this your whole theory?
This is called JC's giant theory on Kenric and Fintan's connection, pre-Keeper. So it didn't make sense to me that, like, okay, it seemed like here that he was just a nice former counselor who lived in his...
By the way, I'm thinking of Tarek now. If Tarek's never seen, they both know they're talentless. Fintan gets kicked off because he's a pyrokinetic.
And Tarek's like...
Or if Fintan helped Tarek get up there by helping him fake his ability or something like that.
Because Tarek said that... He implied that he was pretty old. And Fintan's
just an idea.
Whoa. Okay, continuing my Kenric theory, so he was interrogating Fintan beforehand, but it seemed like the rest of the council didn't know about it, because Kenrick afterwards was like, I'm sorry, Aura. I didn't know who else I could trust.
Where are you getting he was interrogating Fenton?
Unlocked memory.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he...
Wait, point it out to me, or I'll forget.
Read it to you?
Yeah, just that's very specific part.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things that are gonna... And then I'm gonna pull in, but I'll read just this part for now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I said earlier, by the way. Now for the part I've been dreading. Orly bit her lip as she removed one of the golden pins securing her circlet. The rational side of me knows I'll only feel a tiny prick, but I think you must get your needle phobia from me. I'm pretty sure everyone hates needles, Sophie argued, refusing to feel even the tiniest connection to Orly. I suppose. Unlocked it. Kenrick was in the catch. And then he's like, for once, would you please just trust that I know what's best? Don't get to drag me into this and not tell me what's going on. Doesn't matter, your memory's going to be erased anyway. Well, the information in my catch should be a complete account of what we're up against, not whatever scattered pieces you feel like sharing. Otherwise, what useful will it be if we need to reference it in the future? And he's like, okay, Aura, I need you to trust me. Can you feel how serious I am when I tell you it's absolutely essential to keep everything about Elysian fragmented? Elysian, which means that he was wanting to figure out Elysian, what that meant, from Fenton. So he suspected that Fenton was involved with whatever.
Wait, where does it say he interrogated Fenton?
In here, in just a second.
Okay.
The projection of Orly frown. That's not the word you had me ask Fenton about.
Ah.
I know, and I can't tell you what it means, so don't ask. I shouldn't have mentioned it at all, but I always say too much when I'm with you. And yet, here I stand, completely in the dark. Good, you'll be safer that way. Elysian doesn't feel familiar, said real Orly, who's not in the memory, and then projection of Kenrick started to pace. And Sophie's like, is it a place? So, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but my best theory is that Elysian is the sort of human sanctuary. I think I've heard someone mention something like this before.
Possibly.
Bront actually mentioned that someone suggested that it was what some of the people who wanted to, like, stay in charge of the humans wanted was to put some of the humans in a human sanctuary. Remember the thing?
Yeah.
What was it? Criterion.
Mm-hmm. Criterion.
That, remember how Fenton would ask Keith, if you could save one of these humans, who would you save? And then you would write it down in Criterion. Criterion is either the list of humans or the list of attributes about those humans of which humans should be saved. Because Lady Gisella had been preparing Keith for it. It was his legacy. So Fenton was the one in charge of that, by the way. I think Fenton's, you know, the final thing he wants is to get control of the humans. And Lodestar, that's his whole speech. The problem is humans. What do you do with this species that destroys the Earth while we hide away and we're the more powerful ones? He basically, and, you know, he's not afraid to burn the Forbidden Cities if he has to. So basically, he wants to kill off a majority of the humans, store the rest in the sanctuary, and have control of them so that they're not destroying the Earth and the elves don't have to hide. That's my theory. I think Kenrick, for some reason, was on to him. He was like, no, something's not right here. I need, something's weird about Fenton. So he also said...
Why, though?
He said, Orly's like, you didn't even ask, she said, does Elysian have something to do with whatever Stellar Loon is? Kenrick sighed, I can't tell you that either. You can and you will. The tiny Orly stalked forward, grabbing his wrist. You don't get to show up in my door in the middle of the night, beg me to go with you to see a former counselor who seemed particularly unstable, by the way, ask him over and over about whatever Stellar Loon is, so the particularly unstable might have been why Kenrick was onto him.
Stellar Loon. Isn't Stellar Loon what they inject into...
Stellar Loon was part of, yeah, what happened to Keith.
As a child.
Yeah, whenever Lady Gisella was pregnant with him.
Yeah.
Ask him over and over about whatever Stellar Loon is, even after I told you he wasn't lying when he said he'd never heard of it, and then stand there, gray as a goal, because you slipped and said something about this mysterious Elysian.
So he's never heard of it. Either Fenton's never heard of it, or he's really good at hiding.
He's never heard of Stellar Loon. Yeah, Stellar Loon was Gisella's plan. Stellar Loon wasn't his plan. Elysian was his plan. And so Kenrick says, in a second, after he teases Orly, you already have helped, far more than you know. Fenton was calmer with you there, and that allowed me to finally slip past his guard. You breached his mind? Why? Kenrick backed away, resuming his pacing. The same reason I always breach someone's mind, but I didn't find the information I was looking for, in case you're wondering. That's probably good news, though. At least this mess is a little more contained than I feared. I just wish I could find the source of the leak. I'm getting tired of your vagueness and riddles.
Leak? What's he referencing?
So, I'm not sure. I know in the first few books, Sophie thought that the council had some sort of leak.
Yeah.
The main... So, what he was trying to do was get into Fenton's mind, obviously, to figure out what Elysium was, but we know Fenton's really, really good at hiding anything he doesn't want them to see. I wonder if in Everblaze, what Fenton was actually more focused on hiding wasn't the memory that Sophie found where she saw Brandt. He was more focused on hiding Elysium and his, like, never-seen involvement.
Maybe.
And so that's why he allows him to see that, because he's an ancient mind. Ancient minds are supposed to be almost impenetrable. Even once you're in, they can still hide certain things, I'm sure. I mean, Sophie could probably find them eventually, but she barely even let Fitz work with her. And she was way less powerful than she is now. Like, never seen is where she got all the training with Fitz. So, Kenric, what else did he do?
Okay, so, we get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so there's nothing else about a leak?
Or at least just like, I'm tired of your vagueness and riddles.
Read that paragraph again. About the leak that he says.
She said, "Why'd you breach his mind?" He said, "The same reason I always breach someone's mind, but I didn't find the information I was looking for, in case you're wondering. That's probably good news, though."
Do we know why he's breached anyone's mind before?
To find out what they were hiding. That's pretty much implied.
Mm-hmm. It's not... Who else... Whose mind has he breached before, do we know?
Not 100% sure.
Okay.
He was a washer, though, so he had to find out the secrets that people were hiding.
I'm going with the leak thing and trying to figure out if he's talking about a person or something, or using it metaphorically.
Unless it's Tarek.
That's what I'm thinking, but I'm trying to figure out, basically, can I see it?
Mm-hmm.
How he says, where is it? Oh, yeah, I just wish I could find the source of the leak. Oh, no, he's talking about the mess. At least this mess is a little more contained than I'd feared. I just wish I could find the source of the leak. So, there must be some information.
He thought the Never Seen was pretty big then, so it must have been really small then, or it was, they were just good at hiding how big it was.
Or is he trying to hide something, a mess under the surface? Because he says, that's probably good news, so at least this mess is a little more contained than I'd feared. I just wish I could find the source of the leak. Like, how is this mess getting out there? I wonder if there's something in the past again with Elysian, and it had to be leaked from the council. And so that might be why he went defending, because it was a former counselor. Maybe Tarek is evil, and it was leaked through Tarek and Fenton. I don't know, I feel like it's something... Okay, I can't express what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, it wouldn't make sense if they actually leaked something, because why would the Lost Cities not know about it? Like, who would they leak to?
I'm wondering if the Never Seen's plan isn't new. I mean, we already know that about, because there Maybe. Were, in the past, there were those elves, like, 100 years ago, I think, who wanted to put, what are you looking for?
A thing in exile.
Okay. Who wanted to, you know, they talk about, I think it's Lodestar? Who wanted to put the humans in the sanctuary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm wondering if it has to do with Forgotten Secrets again.
Fall, whenever they were like, they wanted to.
And there's like a hidden mess that no one's supposed to know about, except Kenric somehow knows, and he's trying to contain.
He's a washer. He had to know.
Yeah, he's trying to find where the source of the leak to wash it from people's minds if he can find it. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
He is saying in just a second, like, I'm counting down the days till I can have this mess cleared out of my mind. Like, it's not, whatever it is, it's not good. He doesn't like having to know it.
Uh-huh. So he knows something. He's not trying to... He's not trying to track down the Never Seen or something.
What he's trying to do is make it where the Never Seen aren't trying to kill off a bunch of humans. He's trying to make it where that's not even a theory in people's minds anymore.
Possibly. I bet there's a leak. He goes to Fenton, who's an ancient, right? I bet there's a leak that has something to do with a forgotten secret, and he's trying to contain the mess, wash it from people's minds, whoever's leaking this information, and then wash it from his.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's something to do with the human sanctuary, Elysian, a forgotten secret, and one of their catches. How many crystals are in Kenric's catch?
Seven.
Seven? Maybe one of those.
Don't ask how I know that. Why do I know
how
that?
How many are in Aurelius?
One.
Just one? That one?
The one, yeah.
Okay.
She's, like...
So he left her a little clue.
She actually says in the beginning, he was like, she was like, of course, there's only one. In the beginning, so he's like, there's just one? Because okay, she's thinking, Kendrick's had Glitter 7.
And okay, I'm thinking now, what's Stellar Loon?
Stellar Loon, I have a whole thing about it, but basically it's the thing that Lady Gisella, I think it brings out the potential. Actually, I know all the things.
Potential.
One second, I gotta find it. Okay, how do Keith's new ability work? This is an answer, actually, on the wiki that I typed out one time, because someone was like, was it ever explained why Etherteane and Shadowflex would give someone a new ability? So, Etherteane is made from starlight and lightning, but it's super rare. Since it's not made every time there's a storm and a star is visible through the clouds, it's thought that it might be made from quintessence. Mm. Etherteane can be used to mind control shades, so it affects the mind and commands shadows, but it's made from light. Shadowflex is a sixth element.
Okay.
So that's all Etherteane. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, was that the crown? Sorry, I'm getting a call. Was that the crown that Keith had on?
Okay. Yeah, something like that.
And then, the next thing is Shadowflex. Shadowflex is the sixth element, and it's really the opposite of quintessence. So, you know, quintessence is like the purest form of light, Shadowflex is like the purest form of shadow. And then there's Stellar Loon, which in Unlocked we find Fintan didn't even know about. So that was Gisella's plan. Gisella used it as part of her pre-pregnancy treatment and says it brings out someone's full potential. So she married Cassius specifically so that she could have the chance of having a son who is both empathetic and a polyglot. She wanted the abilities to merge, and the mind control aspect of the ability comes from the other teen, which mind controls shadows. Since she blasted him with shadows.
Polyglot is voice, empathy.
It's the emotional part of it. Other teen, the fact that he had the other teen crown on, and she made the shadows affect it, forced the mind control aspect to be a part of the ability. She had shadow flex and lightning happening at the same time. Shadow flex creates change. It makes change happen faster. The light was the opposite, so it made it, I think that it has something to do with it. I have it,
Okay, so Keith's ability is in play, but this plan is possible without Keith's ability, because Fintan came up with it.
Fintan didn't want anything to do with Stellar Loon. Stellar Loon was Gisella's plan. Stellar Loon was just a distraction. Kendrick didn't tell Orly anything important because he didn't want her to find out, because, like, you can see he's like, I don't even want to know this. This is awful.
So and Stellar Orly Loon...
Orly said he always kept me out of anything he thought was too intense.
So Stellar Loon is Gisella's plan. Okay, so Gisella comes up with this different plan with humans that involves voice controlling, you know, Keith.
She's like, let's not kill them. Let's just let's just mind control them. That's more civilized.
Or is it like mind control them to die? I don't know.
I mean, I think it would just be mind control them so that they could still have control over humans.
Maybe.
I mean, Gisella, she doesn't. She's awful, but she doesn't want to kill people if that's not the first thing she has to do.
Well, but she does have like her superior race kind of thing.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to kill them. She just wants to be in charge. Because think about, like, Fintan. He's not afraid to kill people. He tried to kill Gisella off, basically. That was also the ogres, but that was Fintan's alliance with the ogres. He killed Kenrick. He killed, he was part of the
What does Gisella want?
Gisella wants to be important, because Cassius, you know, that's why she liked Cassius, because she's like, yes, being important.
In control.
She wants her child to have a great legacy. She wants to have control of the humans as much as Rest of the Never Seen Us. So that's why there's kind of a power struggle right now between Fintan and Gisella, and it went back and forth between them a little bit.
I'm trying to figure out everything right now.
And then Vespera is more on Gisella's side. Gisella's sort of controlling Vespera, but Vespera's like, you can't control
There's
me.
The whole guilt thing that she talks about, getting rid of your guilt.
Was that Gisella's? Yeah. The guilt is? Yeah. Yes. Vespera's also a lot of choices, so she's like, people's choices define them.
And then choices is what they use to...
That's their version of Criterion. So they're two different...
So what was Kenrick? Elysian.
He was on to Fintan. He didn't know about Gisella.
Look up what Elysian is in Greek mythology. I've heard...
It's the fields. It's where you go if you're a good person.
No, it's different than the fields. Look it up. Because the fields are where anyone goes if they die and they just wander around. Elysian is the special place for heroes. It's for those who are better, the important people.
Why am I looking this up?
Well, because I want to double check it and see if there's anything else to jog something else.
Relating to or characteristic of heaven or paradise. the place at the ends of the earth to which certain favored heroes were conveyed by the gods after death.
That. Okay. That's why I don't think it's just a human holding place. Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with, it has something to do with superiority. I don't know if it's the elves or the humans, like the superior humans. I don't know which. But I don't, it's not just a holding place. That would be like, the if it was Asphodel, the fields of Asphodel, I would think that. But it has something to do with her whole higher important kind of thing, which could have to do with Criterion.
Interesting. I wonder if there will be elves that are...
I mean, she has a, basically a Nazi mindset, where she's like...
Well, the never seen, do you? But whatever it is, the point was that Kenric was on to Fintan, and Fintan knew Kenric was on to him. And that it was implied that that wasn't the first time that he had interrogated Fintan, because he said he had come before, and that with mm-hmm. Orly it had been a lot easier because she had distracted him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably the only two times, that's the only two times mentioned that he's questioned Fintan. He could have been other times.
What if...
And he also took Orly's memory of the interrogation. Mm-hmm. The random idea. Catch.
What if humans have the potential to have special abilities?
Maybe.
I don't know. That was really random.
That has something to do with the sources, because Emery was like, the sources chose us to have the responsibility of special abilities, not mm-hmm. any of the other species. So he was like, cool. But Kenric also took Orly's one other memory, because she said... She was like, Kenric teased me about drinking two glasses of wine or something. I was like, okay, a couple things, Orly. First of all, two glasses of wine isn't going to make you unconscious. Second of all, there are some characters that could be like, yeah, they might get drunk. Not you. She's more principled than that.
Mm.
So, she doesn't... The reason she's like, well, it could be possible, is because she doesn't want to believe Kenric lied to her. But it seems that he did... Can I hold this?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I need to distract myself while I tell myself this. He definitely was hiding something. I don't think he was necessarily doing it for a bad reason. I think he was doing it because he really thought that he was protecting her, but he was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they say that she's like, he was under oath never to watch the mind of anyone on the council, even if they asked him to. And I can't see him breaking that vow, especially with me. You know, 10 pages mm-hmm. later, he literally does. And she says, now that I think about it, there was another time when my mind felt like it does right now. I woke up in my sitting room, and Kenric was there with someone. I can't remember who, which is strange. I know we weren't alone, but she rubbed the center of her forehead like she was trying to massage the detail loose. I also have no memory of letting them in. But I remember Kenric teasing me about drinking too much Fizzleberry wine, and I had indulged in a second glass the night with dinner. A second. Orly, hun. So that seemed like a logical enough explanation at the time. But I do remember thinking that something about his smile felt off. I was just too tired to ask him about it. I can relate to that, though. I'm just like, mm-hmm. I'm just too tired to question you right now. Just go on.
Yeah.
It's like trying to feel my way through fog, except there's nothing on the other side, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
So he definitely has taken her memory of the interrogation with Fintan, because she said, I have no memory of that. Even this, she said, feels detached.
So what are we trying to figure out right now?
I'm just telling you all of the mm-hmm. pieces of... just all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have the memory of the interrogation with Fintan, which could be in Kenric's catch, and he is 7, which seems like a lot. He also took whatever memory that was, which wasn't the same thing, because we already saw what happened after the Fintan interrogation. That's the scene that is in her catch. So there was a third memory, a third forgotten memory from her, and that had to do with whatever Kenric and someone else was there. Who knows who that someone else was? I don't even... There's no hints.
You know what's random that I just thought of?
What?
That was so random. I wonder why you can see both Orally and Kenric, and I wonder if it merged their memories...
What?
There are two memories. Okay, the projection has Orally, mm-hmm. Kenric. We should be seeing it from Orally's perspective, just Kenric. I wonder if you put both of their memories together.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Anyway. That would make sense, because...
And then wiped it from his mind. Anyway.
Right. Because he was the washer doing it. That mm-hmm. makes sense. He wasn't supposed to. Anyway. So then... Sophie's like, do you think the other memory has something to do with Stellarlune or Elysian? Which probably one of them does. And he seemed very determined not to tell her what it was, because mm-hmm. he was like, this is a mess, you don't want to know. And he almost, I'll get to that in a second, but he almost does tell her, but then he's like, I can't. So there's at least, there are three memories. One of them was in her catch. The other two might be in his catch, mm-hmm. along with, you know, five other memories. Who knows what he, one with his original interrogation with Fenton, probably, before he brought Aurelie. And then he's like, and she's like, this is such a classic Kinnock move. She's so mad at him. Sorry.
And then he knew enough to give her.
Sorry, you go first.
He knew enough to give her his catch before he died.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the thing. I was like,
and he made sure she had this information.
I was like, why on earth did she have his catch? And then in Never Seen, Adam, you know, wonders the same thing. He's like, does that mean Kinrick suspected his life was in danger?
Well, not even that, but he wanted her to have the information that he mm-hmm. collected.
Right. Well, he actually said give it to Sophie, and he gave her a way to open it, too. He told Aurelie how to open the catch. And she, in...
Why would he want it to go to Sophie?
So, because he knew that the council was going to go crazy if something did happen. And Aurelie actually said he feared Sophie would need protection, and he was right. And Emery's like, okay, well, whatever, just don't give it to anyone. And Aurelie's like, do you really think he would have given it to her if he hadn't made a way for her to open it? He had, and she knew that, but she was also just trying to be like, you guys are in trouble. Also, she almost got kicked off the council, but, you know, it was worth it. She didn't, so. But she's, at the end of this book, when Sophie gets Kinrick's catch back, she's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to work with Aurelie on how to open it.
Would Sophie figure out how to open it?
Kinrick told Aurelie how to, because she said right at the beginning, she's like, after she finishes this memory, she's like, well, that's not what I was expecting. And Sophie's like, yeah, that was a waste of time. And Aurelie's like, well, you know, Kinrick probably has the other memories. His catch probably has the rest of the answers, so I can open it for you. He actually showed me how. It's much easier than mine. And Sophie's like...
And then they just didn't?
So, she doesn't have the catch yet. This is the beginning of Unlocked. She doesn't have it. It's in the storehouse. And Sophie, remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
and
you're right,
please tell me the anxiety I'm feeling from you isn't because you've lost it. It's like... something I've never seen happen. And Aurelie's like, why didn't you tell me this before?
I forgot all about this.
And Sophie says, like, oh, you weren't exactly easy to approach. And Aurelie was like,
so now
what?
They have it. Now they can open it. But it involves Sophie. Of course, or Aurelie would have just opened it.
Well, she...
Or she could have.
She wanted to give it to Sophie. Yeah. She knew Sophie would need protection.
But Sophie also has... It probably involves both of them.
It's... Yeah. Well, both of them are going to have to open it. Together.
Yeah.
Sophie's gonna be, you know what, again. I have a feeling this is just what I can see happening because of the way the plot has to advance. They're going to see the catch. Something in it, because Kinrick wanted to protect her for some reason. Otherwise, he would have given her the memory. He was trying to, like very, very, very last, the very last thing that could happen was that she could open it. And only if she was completely desperate and needed the memory for some reason. Because he knew that she wouldn't just open it just because she was curious. Mm-hmm. She was smarter than that. So he did all this work to keep it from her. That means it was really something that could shatter her, because she says the empaths are more fragile. So, if Sophie, being the way Sophie is, in the next book doesn't already... I mean, it's not going to. She's not letting it shatter her. Whatever's in that catch is going to.
Maybe.
And so, you know, she's...
I'm gonna go home and write a theory.
And then
I need to bring your Unlocked.
This is the next important part of it. I'm sorry for dragging you into this, Aura. He dropped his gaze toward the ground. I tried to avoid it, but I didn't know who else to trust. Aurelie's projection reached for his hands. If you really trust me, tell me what's going on. For a second, he looked tempted, but he shook his head. I can't, and I promise I'm doing you a favor by keeping you in the dark. I'm counting down the days till I can have the washers clean this mess out of my brain. I can tell. Aurelie closed her eyes in the memory. I feel so much fear and frustration, and is that disgust? Kinrick pulled his hands away. Let's just say that sometimes I'm not particularly proud to call myself a counselor. It's that bad? She whispered. He looked pale and he nodded. Some days I dream about walking away. The next part isn't important to the current theory, so I must stop there.
Disgust. Because she did something, or because of what he found?
Because of what he found out the elves were capable of.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they aren't supposed to be capable of that sort of... That sort of,
because they're the better awful. People.
Yeah. Even just, like, their guilt. Like, yeah. how do they not feel that? And Sophie doubting Kinrick more than she needs to. There was something else that he said, or maybe it was Aurelie. She said at some point that he was always completely, like, calm and confident. Like, think about in Everblaze, when Sophie accidentally inflicts too much happiness mm-hmm. on Bront and Bront goes hysterical. Whenever you reread that, pay attention to how, like, calm and gentle Kenric is. He's just, like, Bront's just hysterically dying on the floor. Sophie's, like, panicking, and Kenric's like, it's okay, Sophie. Mm-hmm. Whatever's going on, I know that you have a power within you to fix it. So just calm, be calm. Focus on how do you normally inflict. So he had already been instructing her the entire time because Bront refused to teach. She's like, it's okay. Whatever it is, you've got the power within you to fix it. And she's like, how do you know? And he's like, because this is what you're meant to do. He's like, he's so just...
Kenric's so interesting.
I miss him. I reread Everblaze and I was like, oh no. I only read the first half, but...
Okay.
And then, like what you said... Okay, one other thing it says is she still had to wonder if Thin had been a lot more to Kenric than she'd originally realized. And she means it in, like, a doubting way, but I think that there is more to him, but I don't think he's evil. He's not evil. That's not true. We've returned.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly everything else has nothing else to do with Kenric, except that Orly's, like, as soon as the memory ends, she's like, well, I guess that the rest of the things we're looking for must be in Kenric's catch.
Yeah.
And Sophie's like, funny story.
I gotta go home and do some research. Mm-hmm. Remind me to.
I can help you with research,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, tell me. And we work really well over text figuring this out. Mm-hmm. So make sure I do some research, because I want to research myths about Elysian.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look at the Neverseen's motivations, because I feel like if we can figure out exactly their motivation.
Mm-hmm. I've been taking a lot of notes while reading through the first few books on their motivation. Yeah.
Okay. So, our next...
Well, it was related, all that related to something on 355, I believe. It says, like, the council just ruled it as a human arsonist, and the weird fluorescent, when the weird fluorescent yellow flames appeared, mm-hmm. and they refused to investigate.
I wonder if someone's covering... I wonder if Kara's covering for them.
Here's the thing. The council, whenever you hear their official opinion on something, that does not mean that all 12 of them agreed on it. It only takes a majority vote most of the time. Sometimes it takes, you know, like 3/4 or something. Usually it's just a majority. So, probably most of the counselors were just like, oh, the elves aren't capable of that. And Kenric's there like,
mm-hmm. I wonder if Tarek's evil, he could be covering.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone on the council is evil, they could be covering, too.
Yeah. And Orly wouldn't have wanted to believe that anyone was capable of it, and she didn't know that at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, she said that in the beginning of, like, before she sees the scene in Unlock, she's like, Kenric always kept me out of this stuff. Oh, this is so
Bront,
much like
I'm
him.
Disappointed
so
in you. You should have known.
Bront may have, though. But that would still just be 2 against 10.
Yeah.
Bront seemed pretty...
Yeah, but then he totally hated Sophie.
Yeah, but he also didn't like the Neverseen. He didn't like the Black Swan. He didn't like anyone who challenged him.
Yeah, that's true.
So he was at least consistent in that, I guess.
Uh-huh.
My next note is on 359. Do you have anything before that?
359.
I think you had 361.
Did I? Oh, yeah, I did.
All right, so 359 is, what did I say? Oh, Alden and Kenric being friends. Bront doesn't trust Alden. Which I, on my alternate point of view at the beginning of this, actually added in, like, because whenever, think about the three counselors first get there and Alden sort of greets them, I made it, like, I loved, like, making Alden and Kenric sort of talk to each other, or Bront's just like, oh, I can't believe you searched for this person whenever it was the council specifically forbade you to go to the Forbidden Cities, because we declared that the Moonlark doesn't exist, and Orly's just being silent, and Kenric's like... Well, Bront. Mm-hmm. Anyway, where is it? Oh, right. What does that have to do with... Oh, right. Sophie... 389. Oh, 389. I'm 359. 389? Oh, okay. 359 is not Alden and Kenric being friends. That's a different note. Sorry, guys. We'll get to that, I promise. 359 is And So We Begin. Another And So We Begin. The Everblaze. Sophie said, not if it's Everblaze.
Did we do the same note for the sister thing? Sorry, I just glanced over. Hey, we literally did the same thing for 3-9, where it says sister and, like, S, like, lowercase and capital letters. we wrote like the reversed. Same note.
That's
exactly.
Awesome.
It just says sister, where Fitz is mm-hmm. calling... Sophie, his sister, and it's like capital S, lowercase I, capital S, lowercase T, so on. Anyway,
Yep.
Sister?
359. That was just And So We Begin. And So We Begin is like our theme thing. So, not if it's ever, Blaze. Alden was on his feet before she could react. He held her shoulders, forcing her to look at him. How do you know that word? What Fenton says right whenever he sparks the Everblaze is And So We Begin. So it just seemed to fit there because, like, Everblaze. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 361, I have a note too. I want to see. Mine is, I don't love the way Alden says that. Oh, Slytherine, Alden said quietly.
361. Mm-hmm. Oh, is actually.
Yeah, we both have a note on there.
It's actually, I couldn't find the page number for that one.
But oh, continue. So it's different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slytherine, Alden said quietly. Moonlarks lay their eggs in the ocean and let the tide carry them away. The babies hatch alone and must learn to survive without family. That's what the Black Swan called you, Project Moonlark. I said, I don't love the way you said that.
For real.
Without family. Without
that's
friends.
That's not...
All alone.
That's not the Black Swan's explanation.
Like, Alden, trust me, they're helping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this series is so good. Mm-hmm. Okay. 361 isn't really 361, but, you know, you know where Iggy tears up the note?
Yeah. Oh,
I think he eats something else. I said, this is why I'm super anxious. He's going to eat Keith's letter. I'm like, really, Keith?
Oh, no.
Really?
Keith put him back in the cage, right?
Huh?
Keith put him back in the cage, right? In his cage?
I think
so. Because he died, Iggy, didn't he?
So, yeah, he did, but he also told Iggy, he left it by Iggy's cage and said, Iggy, you better not eat this, or something like that, and left it open for Shannon to have him rip it up. And so I'm really worried
that
Shannon left that, so, just in case she needed to have Sophie not read it. I'm like, really, really, you had to give me that anxiety that he's gonna...
Extra murder.
She's never gonna get to read the note. What?
Instead, he squared his shoulders and first... This is in Unlocked, whenever Keith is in Sophie's room and he hears a noise behind him. Keith? Keith turns around to see Sophie's adoptive father who looked extra murdery. What are you doing in my house, in my daughter's room, without permission? It's so my dad. Oh my goodness. Grady demanded, which made it pretty clear the conversation's not gonna go well.
It actually did go well.
Oh no. It did.
Okay, but it's right before Grady then? Comes in.
Oh right. He puts it beside him. Give this little drinky drink for me. And then... Ooh, it's working. What did I tell you? He's just talking to him.
I know.
Oh, he's so tired of not talking.
Uh-huh.
If you chew this, he warned, showing Iggy the crinkled envelope, I will shave you bald. Do you hear me? Iggy burped in his face. I'll take that as a yes, but just to be extra safe, he slid the cage on top of the letter to weigh it down.
Okay, good. But I picture it like this. Like, he just does it like this and puts it slightly over it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried. Anyway.
Anyway.
Iggy can pull that out from under there. Anyway.
And then 377 is my next one. Is that after some of yours?
No, I don't have one until 385. And they're really boring.
All right, 377.
We gotta speed this up. As usual. Yeah, we're almost done.
We're at a good time, I think. She imagined how must feel for Grady and Adeline. How much they miss Joey. How lonely it must be to live in a world where no one else really understood what they'd lost. That's just, like, the people who have people who die. So Grady and Adeline with Jolie, obviously, Orly with Kenrick, and all those other people. Like, there's, so Sophie said there are only, like, 100 Wunderlings, and there's, like, millions of elves. Mm-hmm. It just must be so lonely. Like, you're sad. Like, but in the human world, like, whenever you're sad, other people are really sympathetic. They're like, I'm so sorry about your loss. And the elven world is like, why are you just being so sad? Ew. It's just gotta be so lonely.
For real.
And then 379, Morella's right. What did she say? Sophie stared at the glowing metal bird, and somehow she knew it was made of luminite. Her hands shook as she folded up the note. She got the note that said, you have to stop this from the firestorm. You okay? Morella asked. You look really pale. Sophie clutched her chest, taking deep breaths to calm her pounding heart. Fine. Morella laughed. You might be the worst liar ever. And so it begins again. Or continues. 384, sister.
Sister.
Oh, man. Now I have to read the actual quote. Of course I don't mind. You're already like my little sister. This would just make it official.
Oh, yeah, I have the same note, but for the, I think I said it in the other episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we both said it then, too. It's just like, sister.
Sister.
Okay, to be fair, it says that he didn't like her until... This is the part we didn't say in the other episode. It says he didn't like her until never seen. But this is so... Like, Shannon, you really put that in there. Oh, man. Anyway, do you have any more before...
385.
I have one in 389, so go ahead.
Okay.
My 389 is Alden and Kendrick being friends, guys.
So this is... She's talking about... Okay. Finally, Alden cleared his throat. Can I see the necklace they gave you? Talking about the one she thought was from Keith. Her shoulders slumped. I didn't bring it. Why not? I was afraid it might be a bug. An insect? Oh, sorry. That's what humans call tiny recording devices. I didn't want to bring it into your house in case it was a way to spy on us. Well, it's registered pendants are not bugs. Anyway. Alden smiled. Human technology. Her face burned. So he's making fun of human technology being a bug, right? Mm-hmm. So I wrote down, Alden scoffs at a bug. 4 books later, Keith's imparter is bugged.
Oh, that's true.
It's like human technology. And then they literally...
And all fancy.
Everything is bugged later.
Mm-hmm. All right, my next one is, you don't have anything before 389?
No.
Cool. 389. Oh, they're like, this is a little bit before. They gave you quintessence and an illegal leaping crystal. Now they're trying to get you to make a very serious charge against a former counselor without evidence.
Without evidence!
Alan, trust me, just talk to your best friend. There's some evidence. Anyway, and then continuing, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry that you have to deal with this, Sophie. I'm sorry about Grady and Adeline. I thought it might help them to have a daughter to raise again. Obviously, I was wrong. Della and I would love to have you live with us. I'm still getting everything approved by the council, but Kenrick is confident he can overrule Bronn's objection. Now, this is kind of funny, because Kenrick is like, yeah, I can get Alden to adopt Sophie, yeah. Yeah, that would be great for Sophie, especially since Grady and Adeline are so... Meanwhile, orally, the whole time, it's been like, Grady and Adeline need someone. And so, they're like...
And Kenrick's like my buddy.
It's probably the only thing they ever worked against each other on. Mm-hmm. But after what happened with Grady and Adeline, and they canceled the adoption, orally was probably like, oh, no, I did something wrong. Yeah, it's fine. Just whatever Kenrick says, just go with it.
Yeah.
And then, that guilt. I bet he talked her out of so much guilt, like, without her realizing what he was doing. Because he knew that she was part of Project Moonlight. But she didn't know that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to help her, because he realized that she would have been guilty. Especially at the end here, whenever they think Sophie's dead.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably, like, you know, full...
The only weird thing I can think of is if he wiped that from his mind, but I don't think he would do that. No, he wouldn't.
He didn't. It's so obvious. That's why he's so protective of Sophie and Everblaze, and he takes notes for Grady.
Yeah.
He's definitely nice.
Kenrick's like this little guardian angel.
I know. And so at the end of this book, you can just imagine, like, before Sophie comes back, and he's said Sophie was gone for like 2 weeks. There's plenty of time for someone's mind to break, as is evidenced by Alden's mind breaking in approximately a week at the beginning of Everblaze exile. And all the signs are there, by the way. I just reread Exile, and I have so many notes. I'm like, this happened.
Wait, who's
freaking
mine?
Out? What happened?
Huh?
The signs of mind breaking.
Well, who are you talking about?
Orly and Alden. Same signs. Every single thing that happens in Exile, I have a note on. I'm like, this has happened. So, basically all that's left is the last event, which is going to be the catch.
Mm-hmm.
But, what was I saying? Oh, right. He's like, at the end of the book, probably Kenrick was trying to be like, oh, yeah, you know, trying to let Orly not feel guilty. It's not your fault. And she's like, no, it is.
I have a question about the Orly's mind-breaking thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's she guilty over?
Okay, so she blames herself for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but what's the thing that the catch has to do with? Why would the catch break her?
Well, he wanted to keep Elysian from her, which meant that clearly it was something that could shatter her. So realizing that the Elven mind, or just like the Elven population in general, because she tries to think the best of most people. So realizing that like people are capable of that could definitely be something that could make her, whatever it is, because Kenrick,
it needs to be personal.
It's something. It shook Kenrick. It actually made him.
But I don't know if it's gonna make her shatter. If the catch is going to be that, because I don't think it's personal enough.
I wonder if she did something by accident.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. That would be really strong. If she shatters just because of the whole world, then I'm going to be mad. it needs to be stronger than that, but I'm not saying the cats can't shatter her. I'm just saying I'd be kind of mad. But you might be right. It might be personal.
No, I'm thinking now because that second memory, the not questioning Fenton one.
Or he could just be trying to keep her out of the Lysian thing to keep her out of danger.
That was something different. No, because she's sitting in her castle. She didn't even do anything. She hadn't gone anywhere. Whatever it was, it had been something normal. And she was at home. And he erased her mind for some reason. And there was someone else. There was someone else there. Something happened. Yeah, she did something.
Okay, let's move on and text about this later.
Sophie's going to be really mad about it, too.
O'Reilly did something?
She had to have. Unless Kendrick did something, but I don't think he did. He wouldn't. Something happened.
That's the only way it's going to shatter her, if it's her fault.
He took it from her to protect her. How would he keep it then? I don't know. Something happened.
There's some...
I've got a bad feeling about that now that you said that. Like, it makes sense.
It's... If Shannon's writing her to shatter her, it has to be something that is her fault.
I mean, right now, she's guilty about Prentice. She's guilty about...
Remember
Riley.
The character stuff we were talking about last
night? She's guilty about Kendrick. Yeah. She's guilty about Sophie.
But there's... Yeah, there has to be something she did.
Something else?
Yeah.
Other than everything else she already blames herself for, so...
Uh-huh. It could be an amplification of any of those. But...
Seeing Kendrick alive is probably not helping.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like, I want to think about this too now. Okay, but we gotta get through this.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
Not
in this episode, obviously.
Yeah.
But I might post some of these theories and see what people think.
Yeah. So, on 389, anyway, Kendrick is confident he can overrule Bront's objection. Why does Bront object? Half a smile crept from the corner of his mouth. He doesn't trust me. And he's never trusted you, given your past. It's because Orly talked him into not trusting Alden. Because she's like, Alden's probably overstepping his authority.
Wait, say it again.
Huh? So he's like, why does Bront object for you guys to not play? And Alden's like, he doesn't trust me.
Mm-hmm.
That's because Orly literally came to Bront. She said that she did this verbatim. She's like, all I did was suggest that Alden was overstepping his authority.
Uh-huh.
Which he was.
And Bront was like, no.
And so, yeah, then he just never trusted Alden or Sophie ever again, which is probably not what Orly meant, but, you know, it protected Sophie for the time being, so. He said he's never trusted you, given your past, so the idea of us living together, why doesn't he trust you? Probably because my father's always off chasing phantom rebels, Alvar said from the doorway. Alvar's so suspicious, oh my goodness. And then, that was my note on here, 390. Alvar is so sus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything before 395?
Nope, not till 414.
414.
I barely have any notes left.
So 395, it was easy to hate Grady for what he was doing, but it was also hard. She really did love Grady and Adeline, and she thought they loved her. Her eyes blurred with tears as she tore off the brown paper, unwrapping a silver orb in a note. So the can't not. She can't not love them.
Somehow she can for O'Reilly.
It makes... But. Well, it's because she's a stubborn little... Anyway. Because she determined beforehand she wouldn't. And then she's... I legitimately don't understand what Sophie's mad about. Like what Orly said. I don't know what
I've got to read it. I need to read it again.
I don't know what you want me to say. It's something that Orly was like,
Yeah.
I don't know what you want... but anyway, the can't not remind me of, the whole theory we were having, because Orly obviously is trying to figure it all out, but the same problem that I'm having, she's probably having, or will have in the next book.
In case you haven't heard, we said that sometimes we feel like we can't not
do something. We can't not trust somebody.
Uh-huh.
For me, at least, like, trying to figure out what's going on with Kendrick, and this is gonna probably play into Orly's mind in the next book, I cannot trust him. I can't not think that he's, working for the good, whatever the good thing would be. I can't not believe that he's not on the Never Seen.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, once I've given some of my trust, it's really, really hard. Like, if they break it, I'll take it away easily, but it's also, hard to fully take it away. Anyway, 397. Oh, yes. Silence of Fortune. Silence of Fortune watching from afar. For now, she would watch her... You know, she was watching her family on the spy ball. For now, she would stay with him as a silent supporter, watching from afar.
Is that verbatim?
Silent supporter, watching from afar.
Is that verbatim?
Verbatim from what?
From Morelli?
Oh, Morelli never said it, but it's got... It would verbatim fit.
Are you sure she never said it, or no one ever said it? Did Forkle say it? I don't know. But that's... Wow, yeah.
Sophie, you're watching your parents as a silent supporter from afar, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How come you always ignore
I wonder
them?
If O'Reilly has a spy ball. Headcanon.
She does. Oh.
Okay, move. We gotta go fast.
All I'm saying is you've always ignored them, Sophie, haven't you? You've done everything you can to lie to them and ignore them. And... My sarcasm. Okay, 406. You're on 414, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Owen, so this is for those of you who still believe in the Ullman theory over the Teagan theory. Whenever everyone gets mad at her, so Grady and Adeline are mad at her, Alden and Owen came inside. So this is right after they got back from bottling the Everblaze, Sophie and Gildy did. So Grady and Adeline are super mad. Alden's super mad. You promised, Alden said, his voice angrier than she'd ever heard. Just this morning, you promised, like, not to investigate. He's like, well, Bronn's calling for a tribunal. Owen cleared his throat. Like, everyone's just mad at her, and there's just awkward silence, and Owen's like, let's treat those burns. I said, Owen leaving, like, he left, like, shortly after, yeah. Literally on the next page, he's like, that should take care, but if you need anything else, you know where to find me. Mm. He gave Sophie a look that seemed to say, hang in there. Then he glittered away. Then it goes back to Alden and Grady and Adeline being mad. I think it's mainly just Alden. Mm-hmm. But I said, Elwyn leaving, like, family debates aren't my area of expertise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what Orly said whenever Grady and Adeline got really mad at Sophie. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. The irony. I told Kelly about that. I was like, yeah, so she says family debates are my area of expertise. And Kelly goes, about Sophie. I was like, yeah.
Yep.
410. I've mentioned this before. I don't know if it's a spoiler or if I just forgot to say it. It said, Adeline choked out something unintelligible. It might have been her grain, but it was hard to tell. She turned and fled before anyone could ask her. I said...
It might have been her...
Adeline made a strangled sound.
It might have been...
Why is it so funny? No, that's really what it is.
Oh.
Just Adeline made a strangled sound. Because, like, Sophie says, I understand if you want to take back your adoption offer. Like, just, like, the response is... Like, what kind of answer? That's not... I don't know. That just sounds so... 406, no, that would be, 413 is my next one.
Mm-hmm.
Stina reminds me of Gethin in flashback, just, like, talking, like, logicking. Stina giggled, it's really quite funny. Bihanna was forced to be friends with you. Her dad wanted to keep a closer watch on the freaky human girl who practically killed his son in a splotching match, so he ordered Bihanna to be your friend so you'd come around their house.
My only note here is that Alden was meddling even back in book one.
Yep, and so it begins.
Yep, it's so consistent.
Keith's so convinced that Fitz didn't do that. Listen, Keith's like, hey, what happened? Fitz, I'm feeling pretty serious rage. It's probably not a good idea to annoy her. And Sophie's like, Fitz, stop pretending you care. I know your dad put you up to it. And Keith's like, that's crazy. And he looked at Fitz to back him up. Fitz looked away, his whole body rigid. Mm. What did Bianca tell you? So Keith is like,
My best friend, no.
My best friend would never do that. He's really friends with you.
Because literally, Keith was just friends with Sophie because he thought she was cool the whole time while Fitz and Bianca were forced to.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, no, they really want to be your friend.
Yeah, he's like, doesn't everybody?
And Fitz is like,
oh, I just thought about that, though. Keith had literally no pressure. Well, his mom wanted him to be friends with Sophie, right? All these moms.
Well, probably his dad, too. His dad was like, be good a good influence on you. He said that in Everblaze. Keith did. He's like, yeah, my dad says that you're a good influence.
But Keith just, like, met her and was like, oh, you.
Yeah.
Now we're friends.
We must be lost.
While Fitz and Bianca were pushed.
It said, this is 417. Do you have anything else before then?
Nope.
It said, a pair of arms pulled her to her feet and smothered her scream with a meaty hand.
Meaty hand. Didn't we mention this last time?
Yes, but I couldn't say who it was or who any of the captures were. We know, basically, that the only ones there were Brant, Gethin, and Alvar, probably. Uh-huh. Who on earth is meaty?
What does that even mean?
Meaty, like chunky, like big, like a big...
Define meaty. She's not gonna work, is she? Oh, come on, Siri, let him down.
Oh my goodness.
Huh.
Like a big, chunky, like, beefy hand.
Interesting.
A meaty hand.
Who's been doing hand workout?
Oh my goodness.
It's like a buff hand.
Probably Alvar, if we're honest.
Uh-huh. It does say he goes to the gym every day.
Oh my goodness. He goes to
the treadmill. Or he looks like it. Treadmill. Steroids.
Elven steroids. It's like,
all these drugs.
It's like breathable air.
Inside joke from the other one, sorry. Anyway.
Where were we? Oh, okay. 419. They were planning on staging a suicide, actually. They said on, they believe the tidal wave. Staging a suicide would have been better, someone else hissed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Okay, so... You're probably going to think of this from, like, other characters' points of view, but again, I'm still, like, concerned about Orly during this few weeks. If, like, a capture is bad enough, because, like, you know, you're just mm-hmm. nervous that if she's going to be alive, or they thought that she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it had been a staged suicide. I mean, Grady and Adeline...
Oh, for real!
...would have been distraught.
That would have
been so... But Orly would have been like...
Keith!
Should I have...
All of them.
Is it my fault because I ignored her? Like, should I have said something...
Should no, I, Bianna, should I just Bianna and her? Fitz would have blamed themselves.
Orly was the one who placed her with Grady and Adeline.
Well,
she
yeah.
saw things go down.
Uh-huh. But Bianna and Fitz, they had that whole thing where Alden would have blamed himself if shattered.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then Fitz and Bianna too.
Orly would have shattered.
Okay, listen, I'm talking about other people.
Adeline would have shattered.
Yeah, but listen.
Adeline?
Listen.
Should I say my controversial thing about Adeline here, or should I wait for book two?
Book two, because I don't even know what it is. Okay, what I'm trying to say is... Alden and Fitz, that was right after the Fitz and Bianna thing where she found out that they had been forced to be friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have had Fitz and Bianna blaming themselves.
Dex would have been
Alden nice. Blaming himself for making Bianna do that. Dex would have just been sad, I guess.
Wait, Dex was would Dex... have been sad. He would have just gone into depression. Uh-huh. He didn't have many other friends.
But was Dex, did Dex make her mad at all?
Oh, Dex didn't do anything. He actually...
No, because he was coming to say sorry to her for something.
Right. If he had come there after
it was
she
he was...
left. Let's say that he had come there and then never seen it, already taken her. Mm-hmm. He's like, Grady and Adeline, where are they? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And they staged
he
a
was
suicide.
There. Yeah, they would have staged a double. That would have
no,
been suspect.
Like, no.
Oh,
they
that
said
they
couldn't
said they
stage
couldn't
the suicide
stage
because
it.
Dex was there. So let's say Dex
yeah.
arrived 10 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was already gone, the suicide was staged. Dex discovered it.
Yeah.
He would have been sad, but it wasn't his fault. I don't think
it was
of
his.
He wouldn't have shattered.
Yeah.
He would have
Keith
been
wouldn't have shattered.
Keith would have been depressed.
Oh, yeah, but
Dex
he would have
been depressed. Morella would have been in shock.
Uh-huh. This is so dark. We should probably move on.
Yeah.
But Cena would blame herself, too, because she was the one who showed...
Cena, she didn't care.
No, but the Bianca...
She wouldn't be happy, but she would be... She wouldn't be happy. She'd be sad.
Yeah, but no, be... she... It was... Okay, I'm thinking about whose fault it was that Sophie was... sad in the cave. It was mainly Grady and Adeline's. It was also Alden's. There were Fitz and Bianna and Stina. So we potentially have all.
Sorry about that. The microphone's cut out because my computer doesn't like to work properly. Oh, right. So my next one was 420. Gethin's a washer, which I didn't realize before.
Mm-hmm. And we were joking about how everybody's a washer now, apparently.
Right. They're either washers or keepers.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if there's no other job for telepaths, which I hope there is another job or some other jobs, because there's like
council
27
leader?
In the
27
council spokesman. There's like
yeah.
27 telepaths that we know, and we don't mm-hmm. know that many of any other talent.
Yeah.
Okay, it's your turn. You have a bunch. I know.
Okay, so I said, wait, does that line "impenetrable little brain" get quoted again later? So Gethin says something. Do you know where it is?
Maybe.
It's on 438.
I think it's before that. It's like, what are you hiding in that impenetrable mm-hmm. mind of yours?
Yeah, and I was like, does that get quoted again later? Yeah, so I think it does. And then, 427, where Forkel, this is actually 427.
Oh, so the line that gets quoted again, or like, does it get quoted again? It sounds like it does. Well, if it's Geffen, mm-hmm. obviously, because the telepath is the one saying that, and we know that now the telepath is Geffen. So he says to Orly later, wouldn't it be ironic if I cut off your mm-hmm. pretty head?
And we were saying, Geffen really likes adjectives. It's like, pretty little brain, impenetrable little mind of yours.
Pretty little brain.
No, it's the other way around. Pretty little head.
Pretty little brain. Anyway, and then both times they interview Sophie, one time it's Keith and Forkle, and then one time it's Orly and Forkle.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I bet Sophie could read my mind with her penetrable mind and all her secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And both times, Keith and Forkle / Orly and Forkle are like, no, don't you dare read mm-hmm. his mind. Sorry. Okay, continuing.
427 is where Forkle says, she asks Forkle why he's doing it. That's 327. 427. Why are you helping me? It's my job. His job? She'd been hoping it was someone who cared, but she wasn't in a position to complain. And I was saying, I wrote down, that seems out of character for Forkle, to be honest, but it might just be because I don't read his transition from grumpy to caring much.
And I feel like, because there's two Forkles, that this is the INTJ Forkle. The other one's the INFP Forkle. He's really caring and, like, feelings, but this one's just, like, logic. It's my job.
Yeah. And I'm not convinced. She's going to have to convince me about that.
As we read more of the series. Because I
think they're nearly the same person.
I'm not convinced that they are.
We'll see. We'll see.
And you said this is, like, nature versus nurture.
Because she said, even though they have the same memories,
that doesn't mean they have the same personality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
And then you have another, I think.
I'll just skip that one. Oh, 454. Here we go. This is where Keith is sad, which we find out. I'll get to that. Okay. All right, enough girly drama, Keith said, shoving his way in. This is right after Sophie got back, and he's talking about how... They're talking about how sad they were. I was part of the rescue, too, remember? I'm the one who knew the tree you told Fitz about was the Four Seasons tree, so if it weren't for me... He faltered as he seemed to realize he was talking about her dying.
I remember, okay, sorry, finish.
What?
I remember there's a couple of the other times he's like that.
Mm-hmm.
So after, like, Sophie inflicts on Brian, he's like, I gotta be there, and they're next to me, almost kill a counselor. And then after Kenrick died at his funeral, he was like, I told you to let me be there. And then he stopped and he's like, I can't joke about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
But anyway, I said compare it to Lodestar Keith because, I was trying to just say something that spoils our short story, but JC wouldn't let me. Anyway... I was saying compare this to Lodestar Keith because we find out in Unlocked that if you read where he's talking about when Sophie goes missing in Lodestar and he thinks she's dead, mm-hmm. it's similar to this, but their character development has grown so much more and he's devastated, like completely devastated. And then when he finds her, he's not like, it's just, he cares about her so much. And then we also even find out that he cares about her a lot more than is apparent here because Jacila shows, doesn't she show a memory later of where Keith was crying? Oh, because she gave him sedatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, drained his blood or something during that time.
My goodness, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I remember something happening.
Because he was so depressed. So and it's just that he tries to cover it up with humor, but he was actually...
Very sad.
Sad. Okay. Anyway. Even back then.
What's... My next one is on 470.
Mine is on 460.
Cool.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I need it.
Oh.
Okay. It's when Sophie wakes up to find Sandor. And it says, yes. She woke up tangled in covers only to find an enormous gray beast towering over her. She screamed as black fear swirled through her mind and her whole body trembled. Stop, Sophie, Alden warned, shaking her shoulders. Stop, you're hurting him. His voice washed away the darkness and her vision cleared. The gray beast twisted in pain on the floor. Sandor won't hurt you, Alden promised. So here's what I'm asking. This is a plot hole because she inflicts isolated.
Mm-hmm.
She only inflicts on Sandor.
Not Alden?
No. You're not paying attention.
It's important, sorry.
Okay, pay attention, look.
I have two attentions, I told you this.
Not this time. Anyway, but yeah, so she inflicts on only Sandor. He's the only one writhing in pain. Maybe... And Alden's shaking her shoulders.
maybe he just, like, walked in the room after Sophie started
inflicting. I don't think that's how it works.
But, like, okay, so if she's inflicting and he's not in the room, then he walks in and he's like, oh, no, you're inflicting on him.
No, I don't think that's how it works. I think it's a plot hole. It's possible. I did think of that, but, yeah.
It might be. But Shannon could explain it away.
She could explain it away.
We,
you're right.
We always try to go back to each other, like, wow, technically. It does sound like a plot hole.
Okay, 463 is when they're talking about when how they found, oh, here it is. Alden's talking. When they found your pendants in the ocean, and there had clearly been a tidal wave at the cave, I just couldn't see how it could be anything other than a tragic accident. Do they have a hydrokinetic?
The Neversand?
Mm-hmm. There's no way. But I feel like that's a plot.
No, they do have a hydrokinetic.
They do?
It's mentioned in Everblaze whenever they do the light leaps with all the different unmapped stars, then the Neverseen walk across the water toward them. Mr. Forkle is there, and he's like, I knew they had a hydrokinetic on their side.
In where?
Ever? In Everblaze.
Oh.
They do the leaps. It's Sophie.
Who's the hydrokinetic?
I don't think they ever found out.
No. It's not? It couldn't be. I've heard lots of theories about Lynn's mom.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Or her dad.
Or her dad. No. Yeah, or her dad. Maybe one. That would be quite interesting. I doubt it, but that's also just a random possibility.
That's a good theory. Any others before
470? And then on 464, she's asking about Prentice. It's like her thoughts flashed to Prentice. He didn't know what she didn't know what he looked like or even who he was, but he let his mind be broken to protect her and all of that. I forget about Prentice at this point. He's been dragged on so long. He was so important in the first few books, but I don't pay attention in the first. Haven't been paying attention to the first few books. So
that's
I forget about him.
Why you underestimate Kenrick.
Yep. and yeah, and then I had another note, but I don't understand what on earth I was trying to say there. 486 in the annotated edition? I don't know. I'll check when we get home.
Alright. 470. Let's see. Humans. This is Alden talking to Sophie. Humans have those measures in place, the security cameras and detectives and police that Sophie was talking about, because conspiracies and arson and kidnapping are common. Those are unheard of here, or they used to be. He shook his head. For thousands of years, the council reigned supreme. They were the wisest, most talented members of our society, working together for the greater good. No one questioned their authority, but the past few decades have changed everything. Why? Humans. They've developed weapons powerful enough to destroy the planet. So about 60 years ago, a measure was brought before the council to create a new sanctuary. That's why Kenrick's still working on it. Especially for humans, to relocate them for the good of the Earth and their own safety. It had a lot of support. Some very influential people have grown tired of hiding in the shadows while humans run amok throughout the globe. But the council rejected it, refusing to imprison an intelligent species. For the record, I agree with their decision. So, the idea of it, obviously, like, Alden knows. So, obviously, people still know that the human sanctuary was, like, an idea. But the people who actually were like, okay, we're going to do it. Those are the ones, probably, that Kenrick has to try to find and, like, take away that, okay, I'm going to do it.
Who are they?
Fenton is one.
Yeah.
Who knows who all of them are? That's probably why he was like, this is just a mess and I'm tired of it.
There's something there. I don't know what yet.
And then, the supporters of the initiative were angry with the council. Some called for members to resign, especially Braun, since he was the most outspoken against the idea. And there were threats to go ahead with the plan anyway. The council didn't take the threats seriously, but they forbade human contact of any kind and recruited telepaths like myself to keep our minds open for suspicious activity. All talk of rebellion vanished, and the council was satisfied. Crisis solved. So that rebellion that the telepaths are supposed to keep their minds open for, that must be what the mess is that's not contained.
Let me see.
Because Kenrick said it, you know, thankfully the rebellion's a whole lot more contained than I realized.
I'll talk about, the council didn't take these threats here seriously, but they forbade human contact of any kind. Recruited telepaths like myself. Who's talking here?
Alden.
Telepaths like myself, and they were friends, to keep our minds open for suspicious activity. All talk of rebellion vanished, and the council was satisfied. It just went underground. Oh, yeah, because then he says, I had always suspected the rebels moved underground, though I never would have guessed there was more than one group. I'm afraid I've been almost as blind as the council.
Yeah. So that's it. We kind of, I mean, there could be more, and I'm still going to do more research, but that's a good answer for now for what is it, the mess that was more contained than he realized. Because he probably was like, oh, no, there's still rebellion. Okay, it's still more contained than I realized. It's good.
Mm-hmm. But obviously they don't know.
Oh.
I wonder if the people who were outspoken for containing it, if they kept their identity secret. It seems like that should be more important and brought up more. But I guess you're forbidden to talk about it, maybe?
Talk about what? I'm sorry.
The rebellion, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nobody brings that up, but it's probably going to come up in the next book.
Mm-hmm. First, I guess they said, none of the council believed you existed.
None of them. Yeah. Not a single one or two.
Counselor. Not one or two. Remember you said that. Genius. And then one other thing I said that did get deleted in the other version. Mm-hmm. So Sophie, whenever she has to be in front of the council, you know, Emery's like, Miss Foster, you know, we're glad you're alive. And Sophie's like, thank you. And he's like, well, that being said, today you stand before us accused of very serious charges. What have you to say in your defense? It said, she'd spent all night drafting the perfect apology for her actions, but she'd thrown it away before leaving Everglen. She wasn't sorry for what she'd done, and she wouldn't pretend otherwise. Orly would know she was lying anyway. I mean, Orly, again, wouldn't call you out, but... Mm-hmm. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to her saying, her talking to the council. She said, I'm sorry if that's a crime. I won't argue if you punish me for my choice, but I firmly believe it was the right decision. I'd rather be punished for making the right decision than live with the guilt of making the wrong one for the rest of my life. Especially the sentence, I won't argue if you punish me for my choice, but I firmly believe it was the right decision. Mm-hmm. Orly could say that verbatim, and it would be true.
Yeah.
And I just like that. And that's also, you said, the original recording, that's also something Tyrion would say. Mm-hmm. Whenever he's like, I'm resigning from the nobility,
yeah,
and I know I'm making the right decision. Tyrion's got to be FI, though. High FI. I can see that in him. Mm-hmm. He's very emotional.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was my last note. Do you have
one? Uh-huh. Nope. We're all good.
Cool. Yeah. That was a good... Wait, I want to see what else is at the end. I don't know. The last line. I feel like we should end it. I know, Keith agreed. You save a girl's life one day, and the next day she trades her life away with a paddle spin. I think I think we said that in the non-spoiler version, but it's funny. Mm-hmm. The last line is Sophie Foster's going home. I actually, at one point, had them all memorized, so the
last lines.
I didn't have all the prefaces memorized, but I could recite the Everblaze preface.
Oh my goodness.
And the... Part of the Lodestar
preface. I love the prefaces.
The Everblaze one is
They're like cool. teasers.
The Lodestar one is, I think, the coolest one.
Mm.
Because this is what they want. I loved that one. Yeah. That was the coolest one. Mm. Anyway, yes, thank
I
you
I don't
guys.
Remember a lot of them. I need to reread them all.
The prefaces?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the flashback one. I still can't.
Shanna should just drop the prefaces of the books.
Like, I thought you were saying, like, stop writing them. I was like, no!
No! I mean, like, drop them before she releases them.
Yeah, like, whenever they make the Keeper movie, if there's not a trailer that's literally just the preface, I'm gonna be very upset. I'm gonna make one.
Hmm.
I will.
Cool.
Anyway, is that everything?
I think so. Okay. All good.
Thank you guys for listening. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you enjoyed. And we don't have time to record anymore.
Thank you for listening to the Forbidden Cities podcast. Leave us a review and tell a friend about the podcast if you liked us. Email us with comments and episode suggestions at theforbiddencitiespodcast@gmail.com. And to follow us on Instagram, just search @ForbiddenCitiesPodcast.